Welcome to Coming Up for Air, the Allies in Recovery podcast, with hosts Laurie McDougall, Kayla Solomon, and Dominique Simone Levine.
Okay, so I have the topic for today, Kayla. It's something that's been on my mind. I've just been thinking about it a lot. Natural consequences. I mean, we hear it in addiction. Allow for natural consequences, allow for natural consequences, you know, remove immediate rewards and allow for natural consequences. What are your thoughts?
I think it's the only way to learn anything. I think a lot of times we try to make something consequential, but also a lot of times all we need to do is step back and allow people to experience natural consequences because it actually has an impact.
So I agree.
Yeah, go ahead, Laurie, because I haven't even thought about them.
Yeah, I agree. Natural consequences are really important.
So describe them. Describe what it is.
Now, that's an important piece because a lot of people actually don't know what natural consequences are. And natural consequences are when you don't intervene and you just allow things to happen naturally. So you don't speak for your loved one. You know, you just listen to someone, you know, maybe someone is coming to you and talking to you about your loved one and you just listen and then you encourage them to go and speak to your loved one. But typically as family members, we like to get in there and speak for them, right? Like, oh, you know, I know they were late to work, but they were sick, you know, I'm not exactly sure. And it's because we're very worried. We don't want people to see them as difficult or we don't want them burning bridges. And then we get out of that conversation and we run home to our loved one. What happened? Right. I want to let you know, I ran across so-and-so and we talk. That's not allowing for natural consequences. That's not allowing for if your loved one's behavior was not so good and they're not, you know, you're making excuses for them, you're talking for them. And all you have to do to allow for natural consequences to happen is to say, oh, geez, I have no idea. You're going to have to talk to them and let them interact with this other person. And their interactions might not be great, but that's okay. It's a learning opportunity. It's just a learning opportunity. So that's what natural consequences are. Natural consequences are when you just kind of just allow for things to unfold naturally. But I think there's another big, huge piece here that we often miss and we don't talk about very much. And that is, I say no, do not allow for natural consequences to happen all the time. Do not, because it is dire and dangerous. And when we're talking substance use disorder, people die and people end up in horrible accidents. And there are moments when you need to intervene and not allow for natural consequences. And in fact, I really believe with Kraft, and Kraft says this, that Kraft approach always talks about safety and sanity first. And if things are unsafe, you may need to intervene.
Right. And I think if we could have the first rule, we'll say, and even though we don't have rules, is to keep the person alive.
Yeah.
So that puts it into a different category of intervention.
Yeah. Keep them alive. Also keep them from maiming other people. So like driving the car, I see it all the time. People are afraid to intervene and say, give me the keys or don't get in that car or I'm going to call the cops. If you get in the car and you've been drinking like this, I see it all the time. People are nervous. They let their loved one get in the car and drive away and they've been drinking. And I say, no, I will tell you over and over and over again, I don't care, throw Kraft out the window, do what you have to do to get the keys away, you know, get the battery out of the car, do whatever you have to do when we're talking some form of an intervention and it's dire and dangerous and could be devastating.
And we're not talking about getting them into treatment. We're talking about taking the keys away, or as one parent did, unplugging one of the fuses in the car so that it didn't start.
Yeah.
Or moving the car so that they can't get to it. That's a very direct intervention that is to save a life, either of your loved one or somebody else. Where it gets sketchy is if you know your person is using intravenous drugs and there's a possibility that they're upstairs in their bedroom overdosed. How would you deal with that, Lori? Because that's a huge thing that people are dealing with.
I say intervene. And yeah, I'm going to use craft. I am going to use craft, but I am going to intervene. I am not going to, I'm going to get up there in that bedroom and I'm going to do what I have to do to make sure that my loved one is safe. And I actually think it is craft, to be honest with you. And I mean, I could really get into some details and intricacies about it. Safety, but also insanity. If I'm going to be traumatized because of allowing for natural consequences, I might not allow for those natural consequences. And I will tell you right now, I don't feel bad. I don't feel guilty for doing it. And lots of people try and make me feel bad and guilty. I've had people, you know, say things to me and I'm like, yeah, I don't feel bad. I don't feel guilty. It was too much for me to handle. And I'm going to get in there and I'm going to intervene in those cases.
Because it feels too dangerous.
It's too dangerous, or it's too traumatic to me, too traumatic to other people, whatever it is. I don't feel bad if I don't allow for natural consequences all the time. I just don't. Instead, I say intentional natural consequences. That's what craft is about. Find the natural consequences that you can allow for. Find them. Start small. Start narrow and focused. One natural consequence that I might be able to allow for is to stop speaking for my loved one and allowing them, you know, to have this interaction with someone that might not go well and they might suffer the consequences. I don't know, maybe they lose a job or someone doesn't like them anymore. But that's just an opportunity in the future for me to have a conversation with them and kind of point out, oh, okay, well, how would you handle it differently next time? Or, you know, what is something different that you might do so that it might lead you down a different path? Those are natural consequences that I can allow to happen. They're intentional. They're very focused. And I'm not going to go insane and nobody's going to suffer some really bad, dire consequences because I'm allowing for it to happen.
The one thing that I would say about natural consequences is that it also depends on the relationship that you have with the person. Because if you're a spouse and your partner is sleeping in and get late for work or not showing up for work or something like that, that has a direct impact on you. If you have an adult child who lives with you and you don't wake them up, they still have a roof over their head, they'll be fine. You have to deal with that and figure out what you're going to do about that. But it's different than if you're dependent on the other person's income. But also, you know, and we've had various speakers on here where if the natural consequence is that if you're high, you're not going to see your kid or you're not going to spend time with your children, that's a natural consequence. It's like you get to, as a spouse of somebody who's using, if that person is high, you could say, no, you're not going to see the kids when you're like that.
I don't even see that as natural consequences necessarily. It may be I'm making up these consequences, but again, it's safety, because safety isn't always about the person who's using substances. It's about you, your safety. It's about children's safety. It's about a stranger's safety. If they're driving the car, they might, you know, hit a car and kill somebody or maim somebody. And the devastating consequences of that, the natural consequences of that is horrible, ruins so many people's lives. Nope, I'm going to intervene. No, you're not taking the car. Nope, sorry, the kids are not getting in the car and going to the park with you right now. We can talk maybe later about this, but no, that's not going to happen.
I think it's also really important for people who are thinking about having their loved ones move back in with them after treatment or something like that. This is why we focus so much on working with the person before they move back in about what the contract is, what they're agreeing to, because then they're actually describing the consequences of their behavior. So you're actually teaching somebody to look at natural consequences when you're creating a contract. It's like, okay, so what do you think we should do if you don't go to a program? Or what should we do if you stop doing chores around the house? Or what do we do if you relapse? What do we do if you, whatever, fill in the blank, behave badly, and you know what that is with your loved one, because they usually have their own set of behaving badly. Some people throw things, some people play music really loud, some people don't have any consideration for anybody in the house. Basically, it's the if then. If this happens, then what are we going to do? And we say we, not what should I do? It's like, what are we going to do? And so you're actually then teaching people about what the natural consequences are. And then your job as the person who helped write this contract is to actually implement the contract when it's broken.
To be honest, I don't even see that as like natural consequences, but everything you're saying, Kayla, to me is like, this is collaborative. I'm inviting you in. So when you do that and you include the individual in the plan and the consequences and that, you know, what will happen afterwards, and you include them in on that, they're learning to collaborate. They're learning to negotiate, and they're taking a look at their own actions, and they're actually maybe more willing to accept the consequences if they do whatever they do. The other thing to think about is that a lot of people miss at the very end of making this kind of contract. And it doesn't have to be a written contract. And in fact, I'm not thrilled about written contracts because people think they have to follow it to the letter kind of thing. But making sure that everybody knows that the contract may be a little bit flexible. In other words, if these particular boundaries are not working so well for one of the parties, we're going to renegotiate, that it can change, and it can change over time. Like maybe something like, well, there's been a lot of drinking and driving, so the car is staying in the driveway, but here's how you can earn using the car back. So right now the car stays in the driveway, but a month from now, what steps could be taken towards being able to drive the car in the future? I'm just using that as an example, but I agree. Inviting someone in, being collaborative, helping everybody in the room to look at the situation, and then allowing for natural consequence. It's really hard, Kayla. I'm going to tell you this. Allowing for natural consequences for family members is really, really a very difficult thing to do. And that's another reason why I would say start very intentional, focused, and small.
But also it's the training program, the training wheels, because first of all, you need to think about it in a different way. Like, okay, what are the various ways that I could not intervene? And it's also the fundamental natural consequences that we have is self-removal. That's a natural consequence of somebody's behavior. It's the number one craft tool that we talk about, which is somebody's behaving badly, and you could define what that looks like for you, and you step away, you remove yourself, and you are in the fundamental natural consequence, which is a great thing. It's a very low stakes natural consequence, which is I'm not going to make that person dinner, or I'm going to walk away, or I'm not going to spend time with you. Or if you sit down next to me and you're trashed, I'm going to say, oh, I need to go to bed right now. And you get up and you leave, or you go for a walk or whatever. It's such a powerful position, because what it says is that you have the power of your positivity when you are engaging, but by removing that positivity, you're actually a consequence. I love that. You know, so you start with that, and you start with, you know, little low stakes things. And then as you have this as a practice, you're going to start to see more and more about how you are actually intervening in that person's life. That might be much too much. It might be that you don't call the treatment provider. There could be a lot of things.
There's a lot of different things, but I also think that by allowing for natural consequences in small and focused, very intentional ways, and working these slow moving pieces, if you can just knock out all this other stuff, this other worry about, am I allowing for natural consequences? Am I not? Just knock that noise out of it and just say, oh no, here's where, and only focus on those natural. Here's where I can allow for natural consequences. And I'm not going to feel guilty or bad about all these other things that I am intervening on. Let it go for now and just focus, and then pat yourself on the back when you do allow for natural consequences in those small ways. and then build on that. Where's another spot that I can also allow for natural consequences? And that's how you get to the bigger picture of natural consequences. It's hard.
It also makes me think that all of the things that we're working on with Allies and Craft is this progression. Okay, you start out, as I like to think, you're a bloody mess, which gets you here in the first place. Your life is a mess. Their life is a mess. You're enmeshed or you're completely separated, whatever the particular mess is. And then you start to engage in this practice of change. And I have this t-shirt that I love, which says agent of change. So if that's your title, that you're an agent of change, you start with yourself because that you have complete control over. And it's hard enough as it is. This is not easy to change. But once you make a decision that you're going to change, you start to look at all the things that you do that work and that don't work. And then you start modifying them. And sometimes getting involved in a situation is effective and it works and it has good consequences. And there are times you do it and you're like, oh, that didn't go so well. I probably shouldn't have done that. Excellent. Not a mistake. It's a learning opportunity. And so all of this, and especially what you're talking about with the small incremental natural, you know, noticing of natural consequences, this is how we do it. It's like you start, you see how it goes, what went well about that, what would you have done differently? And then you try it again differently the next time, because unfortunately or fortunately, you will have plenty of opportunities to be doing this work. Right. And so, yay!
It does have to be done this week.
Rome was not built in a day, and this process is not fast. So the same thing for yourself. It's like, you know, part of what you're going to wind up experiencing are your own natural consequences. So like for me, I often feel natural consequences when I overdo or overreach into somebody else's life. I get slammed very quickly. That is a natural consequence. So start with yourself, start noticing what the natural consequences are towards you. And that will give you more of the bigger picture about how to do this with other people. So you get the natural consequences instead of feeling guilty about it, which you can do for a couple of minutes, but don't waste your time for that long. Then really look at, okay, I need to look at this and work with it and shift it because I don't feel good about that. So how am I going to do this differently? And plenty of opportunities. If you could see this all as the natural consequences starts with having awareness and microscopic changes and small incremental changes, as you say, and then you will start to learn this. And I love that you said, then you start to work your way up to the bigger ones, but you do it with less reactivity, more skill, more awareness, more noticing, and then you're going to be better at the bigger ones anyway, because you've given yourself time to learn.
Right. And the other thing about this is oftentimes when you start small like this, change starts to happen and you never get to the big ones because change has started to happen.
Right.
Well, that sounds like a great summary. I actually love this topic. So thanks for the conversation, Kayla, and I will talk to you next week.
Great.
Thanks for listening. We hope this episode of Coming Up for Air spoke to you. If you're listening in today on a podcast platform that isn't the Allies member site, please take a moment to give us a 5-star rating. This helps others find the show more easily. If you have a suggestion for a new topic or a guest for the show, please reach out through the Contact Us form on alliesinrecovery.net. Special thanks to our hosts, our guests, and our production team.